Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Bellingham podcast. We hope this message will be informative, inspirational, and helpful. Donations to support this work are greatly appreciated. Visit www.cslbellingham.org and click on the donate button. Remember to share our podcast. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Philip Flores. I am today's practitioner of the day. My pronouns are he and him. And my ancestors hail from Mexico and Spain. So, anyone you see with a stole are practitioners that are available to you if you need a quick prayer. I see Wendy's wearing one right there. And anybody that, again, has a stole, walk up to them if you're in need of prayer. If you don't have time today, you can go onto our website. There you go. Fill out a prayer there. We also have a prayer vessel toward the back. So let me go ahead and start off with an invocation. So there's only one. And this I know is true. That this one source, this one love, this one connection is living in and through each and every one of us. And so I welcome that presence. I welcome that presence in this moment. And open up my inner ear, my inner art, my inner wisdom to Cindy's talk today. And allow the gold nuggets that are provided to lift me, to encourage me, and to inspire me. And so welcome to this moment. Welcome to this day. Welcome to CSL Bellingham. And so it is.
So I'm Cindy Clay. I want you to know I'm a senior now. In ministerial school. Yeah, I was a freshman last year. Anyway, kind of disconcerting to suddenly be a senior, right? And my pronouns are she, her. And my ancestors, I always find this so boring. My ancestors hail from England, Scotland, Ireland, and Sweden. So there you go. And I was thinking about, today's February 1st, which is kind of unbelievable when you think about it. It's like, how did we get here so quickly? And all the things this signifies. So for me, February 1st is the month of love, right? We're kicking off the month of love. I didn't even know it was Celtic Spring. So, but it's also the first day of Black History Month. We got a lot of stuff going on. So, and there's a new theme that starts today from the Center for Spiritual Living, which is called Embracing the Edge. So that's the monthly theme. And the talk this morning is living on the inner edge. So when I was asked to give this talk, I went, I have no idea what that means. So it's been kind of fun to like figure it out. And as I've been getting ready, it's been fun and playful to think about what does it mean to live on the inner edge. So just to cut to the chase, I won't leave you hanging too long. To live on the inner edge means you're at the edge of your comfort zone. Yeah, that's it. We all have one, whether we know it or not. And usually our comfort zone is bound by the stories we tell ourselves about who we are. So we have all constructed a narrative of who we are. And it might include how tall or short I am. I am 5'2½". That half is very important to me. It might include my gender identification, my sexual orientation. It might include my family status, my family heritage. I know my story definitely includes my personality traits, both the ones that people adore and the ones they find irritating. And it includes my work that I did. It includes my accomplishments. It includes all the stories I tell about the challenges I've survived. Was that true of you too? All of those things that we say, this is me, this is who I am. But is that really who you are? You know, we kind of made it up, really. Because ultimately, I have to ask myself, is that really how God, my creator, the one spirit, the one presence, love, knows me? Is that really who I am in the eyes of spirit? Ernest Holmes, who's the founder of Science of Mind and of Centers for Spiritual Living, says, there is one life. That life is God. That life is perfect. That life is my life now. That is so much bigger than all the stories I tell about myself. And he also writes, each person is not only a center of God consciousness, they are an immortal being, forever expanding, forever spiraling upward, forever growing in spiritual stature. So much bigger than those stories I tell about myself, right? I am growing upward. I am spiraling upward, forever growing in spiritual stature. So let's just explore our comfort zones for a minute. And we all have one. We all know when it feels like we're moving out of our comfort zone. So if I think of my comfort zone is like right here, this is my comfort zone. The next zone outside my comfort zone is discomfort and fear. Woo! I want to go there. The next zone outside that is learning. And the next zone is growth. I do want to get to the growth zone. But you can hear, I first have to step in to the discomfort and fear zone, right? Oh, great. Isn't that special? So a lot of us would really prefer just to not go there, right? I don't want to feel discomfort and fear. Thanks very much. So what happens to us when we elect to just stay in our comfort zone? It's boring. Yeah, nothing happens. It's safe. What? No what? We shrivel. Yeah, we shrink and shrivel, and there isn't much juice left in that prune. That's actually not in my notes. So so we play it safe. We stop learning. We stop growing. Basically, we are sacrificing our spiritual magnificence for the illusion of safety. Okay? Now, I'm sure you're not doing that. But do you know anybody that seems stuck? Do you know people like that, that are just stuck? They have created a life that is small and constrained. They're afraid to venture out of their comfort zone. They're afraid to take risks. They're afraid to learn anything new. I see head nods. Yeah. But guys, the secret to a satisfying life is to venture beyond the familiar and the safe, right? That's where the good comes from. So we have to lean into our discomfort and fear to boldly go where no one has gone before. There's probably only a certain generation that's going to get that. But okay, so let's look. Yeah, he's like, I got it. I got a Vulcan. I can't do that. So let's just talk for a minute about what keeps us stuck in our comfort zone. And I want to say we've all been stuck in our comfort zone. So we're just not talking about those other people. You know, we've all had times when we're stuck in our comfort zone. So there are really three psychological barriers that I can point to. There are probably more, but these are the three that I am interested in, right? And the first one is just a fear of failure, right? I'm afraid that if I do that thing, it's not going to go well. I'm going to look stupid. People are going to think less of me. I'll be judged. I'll judge myself. It won't be fun, right? So rather than step out and take that risk, I go, nah, I'm not going to do it. The second one is perfectionism. We think, I don't want to do it unless I can do it perfectly, right out the gate. I'm going to be the only human being in history that plays pickleball at a 4.0 level. The first week that I take this game up, I'm not going to miss shots, right? So perfectionism keeps us stuck because we go, yeah, I don't want to make my mistakes in front of other people. I'm not going to feel good about myself if I do that. And the third one is imposter syndrome, which I've never understood really because I think I'm pretty fabulous. So that's not true. So imposter syndrome is the feeling that if I do that thing, if I achieve that thing, you will unmask me. I'll be seen for who I really am. somebody who really isn't worthy of the accolades, somebody who really isn't up for the challenge. So I don't want to put myself in that position. So these are, you might have resonated with one or two of these. These are the things that keep us playing a small game in life, which is kind of the opposite of what we're here to do. There's also fear of success, which is sort of another thing. It's like, I'm afraid if I stand out, I won't have friends anymore. but these are all just psychological barriers that have no weight except for the weight that we give them. You can hear that it's our fears and our doubts and our discomforts that keep us living a restricted life. And that life often lacks spiritual growth and expansion because we're playing it so safe. We don't want to judge ourselves. We don't want to be judged by others. I stay right here in my little comfort zone. So Ernest Holmes says, our real enemies are our fears and phobias, our doubts and uncertainties, our anxieties, and our inner conflicts. And he also says, when we learn to trust the universe, we shall be happy, prosperous, and well. That's kind of our life work, isn't it? Is to shift away from our doubts and fears and learn to trust the universe. So as I was getting ready for this talk, I ran across a Bible verse, and I cannot remember why I was reading this Bible verse, but the Bible verse is from the books of Mark and Matthew, and I'm sure you've heard it, because it goes like this: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I know I've heard that, and I've got to tell you, the word repent is doing a lot of work in that sentence. I got to tell you, you don't need to time me because I know it's going to go too long. Okay. All right. Don't hold the cards up. Okay. So repent. Doesn't that sound like I'm a sinner? I got lots of bad habits, right? I'm doing all kinds of things wrong. I've got to stop doing that. I've got to stop messing it up. I've got to put aside my sinful ways. And if I don't, I'm going to miss the kingdom of heaven because it's at hand. That train is going to leave the station without me. That's what that verse always said to me. It always made me nervous, you know? Like, man, I got to hurry up and repent because the kingdom of heaven is here. Oh, it's gone, you know? So I asked myself, what does repent mean? And you know what I found out? Repent is the English translation of the Greek word metanoia. And metanoia is a much richer word than repent, because meta is beyond or after, and noia is thought or thinking. And so what it really says is, it's time to shift your consciousness. It's time to transform your outlook. I like that way better. It says it's time to align yourself with spirit and the way spirit sees you beyond the stories that you tell yourself about who you are. So you are the beloved of love. You are whole, perfect, and complete. You are a facet of the divine. The divine knows itself through you. You are here to express all of God. You are forever expanding and growing and spiraling upward in spiritual stature. Metanoia says, change your thinking, change your life. You heard that before? Yeah. And that kingdom of heaven train isn't going anywhere. It's right here. When it's at hand, it's here. Yeah? It's not moving away from us. It's here. And as we expand our consciousness, expand our thinking, we experience more and more of heaven right here. So we are living on the inner edge. We're at the inner edge of our comfort zone. You hear that, like, right there. And that means we're just on the cusp of discomfort and fear. Whoa, how exciting. Woo. We are always on the edge of learning and growth. We have to get through that discomfort and fear zone to get there. And if we don't like the feeling of discomfort and fear, we're going to choose to shrink back into our comfort zone, to shrivel up. So our other choice is to embrace it, because when we're in that zone of discomfort and fear, it might just be signaling to us that we are about to learn something. Yeah? So I'm going to tell you a story, and this is a really embarrassing story. This is from my own life. So last week, I was getting ready to go to the board meeting, and I got to give you a little setup. Leo's car is parked on the right side of the garage. My car is parked on the left side of the garage. And our daughter, Grace, she works for a construction company, and she has a company truck. It's got the construction company logo on it. And she is supposed to park on the street below our house because there's no parking on our little lane. And this day, she parked behind me in the driveway. So I'm going out to get in my car, and I put the garage door up, and her truck is behind me. And I'm like, oh, God. And so I go in, and I get her. I go, Grace, I need you to move your truck. And so she comes out. She gets in her truck, and I'm sitting in my car. I watch her back up, turn down the lane, and clear the driveway, right? And I start backing up, and my car starts making that beeping sound. I do appreciate that beeping sound, but I'm going, why are you beeping? And I realize that Leo's car is in the driveway. It's not in the garage. It's next to me, and I'm backing up, and I'm getting too close to it. So I'm thankful that I saw that, and I'm maneuvering the car away from Leo's car. I'm feeling pretty good about getting some distance because we were really close. I don't want to hit his car. And I'm backing up. I clear his car, and then I hear crunch, and I realize that I've just hit Grace's truck. I was only going like 5 miles an hour, so you know, I wasn't going fast, but I have just hit my daughter's truck. It's pitch black outside. There's no street lights on our street, so we are standing outside. I'm like, honey, I'm really sorry. And she's like, Mom. And I went, what are you doing back there? And she goes, I was waiting to see what you were going to do. And I went, I was backing out of the driveway, you know. And I realized I can't really blame my daughter for backing into her truck. You know, I should have been looking in my rearview mirror. And so we decide, look in the dark, because we can't really see anything, that everything's fine. My car looks fine. Her truck looks fine. And I went off to the board meeting. Well, the next day, I thought, well, I better look at my car. So I go out and look. Sure enough, my car looks fine. There's nothing on the bumper. There's no paint from her truck. You know, I'm like, oh, we're going to get out of this okay. And that night at dinner, I tell Leo and Grace that, you know, yay, my truck has no damage on it. And she says, Mom, there's a dent in my truck. She says, it's a small one. Maybe nobody will see it. And I said, oh, okay, don't tell anybody. This is the embarrassing part. I'm like, don't tell anybody. Maybe nobody will see it. You know what? If they ever do see it, you can just act like you don't know where it came from. Now, this is the point where I should tell you that one of my core values is integrity. But I did say that. And for that moment, I thought I could get out of this unscathed, you know. And then I went and finished my ministerial school homework and turned it in. And I went to bed, and I woke up about 2 o'clock in the morning. My higher self, who had probably been pondering how to get my attention, said, are you really going to let your daughter lie to her employer about you hitting her truck? And I did not wake Leo up, but I'm giggling to myself because I'm just like, no, I am not going to do that. That's not who I am. That's not what I'm going to do. And so I decided I'm going to tell her in the morning to go in and let them know that her mother backed into her company truck. And so I went to sleep. I didn't go to sleep yet. So I'm lying there, and I'm, you know, as I once I decided that, I felt so much better. Right? Because I have stopped being out of integrity. I have realigned myself with who I really am. But it allowed me to ask the question, why would I even entertain for a second the idea that I would lie about hitting that truck? And so I was holding myself with curiosity and with a lot of self-compassion, right? Because it's not fun to violate your own values. And I realized that I was afraid it was going to cost a lot of money to fix the truck. And in that moment, I realized, oh, I am seeing myself as separated from my source. I am seeing myself as outside of abundance. I am thinking that I am living a separate life from my good, my source, abundance. And so I gave myself a treatment in the middle of the night. I went, well, I know what I need to do here. I need to give myself a treatment to recognize that I am never separated from my source and all my financial needs are always met. I am abundantly blessed no matter what the human circumstances are. And so I did that. And I went blissfully back to sleep. And the next morning, I called Grace at work because she gets up really early and goes to work. And I called her and I said, hey, honey, go tell your boss that your mama backed into your truck. And she sounded so relieved. I mean, I put her in a really terrible position, right? She's thinking, what? So she went in and told her boss, and she, you know, acted sheepish. She hardly ever goes into the owner's office. So when he saw her, he was like, what does she want? And she said, I have something really embarrassing to tell you. My mama backed into my company truck. And you know what he did? He laughed so hard. He thought this was the funniest thing ever. He goes, take me out, let me look at it. And they go out to look at the truck. She points out the dent and he goes, that? And he goes, drive that over to the shop. The boys will just pop it out and buff it. It'll be fine. She said, I'll pay for it. And he goes, it's not going to cost anything. So she calls me and tells me this, you know. And I just love it because, you know, everything I feared was not what was happening in that situation, right? And I almost took an action that was out of alignment with my values, with my core values, because I was seeing myself as separate from God, as separate from my source. So even in the situation like that, where it feels like you're backsliding, you know, there's growth. Because you can hear comfort zone, discomfort, learning, and growth. But you have to hold yourself with compassion. You have to release judgment of yourself so that you can look more deeply at what's really going on. Ernest Holmes says, we are on the pathway of an endless expansion. We are unfolding into the infinite. So even that backsliding moment, I'm unfolding into the infinite. I just have to love myself. I have to love myself enough to really understand what's happening. And that's what we're being asked to do. So one way that discomfort helps us is that it signals to us when we're out of alignment with our source, when we're out of alignment with spirit. And then it's our curiosity and our self-compassion that allows us to move back into alignment. You hear that? Have you ever done it before? Yes, good on you, because we're in this upward spiral of growth, moving into the infinite, expanding and growing in spiritual stature. So we also feel discomfort or fear when we're about to do something new, or when we're about to go on an adventure, when we don't know what's going to happen. You done that too? Uh-huh. So I'm going to tell you another story. So about maybe 20, 30 years ago, I was a consultant, and I had friends who were consultants, and one of my friends called and said, hey, I'm developing a high ropes course, and I want to offer it for corporate clients for team building, so I'm doing this pilot, and I wanted to see if you would come do the pilot. And so I said, sure, I'll do the pilot. Now, I wasn't not remembering things like, I'm kind of afraid of heights. And I didn't really know what a high ropes course was. So when I showed up that day in the woods and I looked up and saw 30 feet, 40 feet up in the air, there are bridges and there are webs, big webs, and there are logs suspended between trees. And I went, oh, I almost said a bad word. Oh, shoot. okay, I can do this, right? So they put a harness on you and they put belay lines on you. So you're 100% safe, but tell that to your adrenal glands, you know? So I'm up there in the trees and I'm doing things like crossing these webs that are hanging in the air where you're like climbing across them. I'm walking across bridges that have no railings. I'm absolutely terrified. I mean, it was a day of just sheer terror. My favorite moment was they had a tree. I really got to know this tree really well because you had to let go of the tree and then you had to step down 2 feet onto a log that's suspended with nothing to hold on to. You had to go down and then walk across this log, and that tree and I became quite close. It took me a long time to let go and finally do this. And the last challenge of the day, I was really tired because, you know, when you're like in an adrenaline state all day and you're physically challenging yourself, I was pretty fatigued. So we get to the last challenge of the day and they take us to a 40-foot telephone pole. And they tell us you're going to climb to the top and you're going to stand up on it. And then once you're up there, we're going to swing this aerial bar to you and you're going to jump off and grab it. I'm thinking, yeah, sure I am. So I sat there and I watched other people do this and they all did it on the first try. So I thought, well, it can't be that hard, right? So it's my turn now and I'm climbing up this. It is really hard to climb up a telephone pole. So I'm climbing up the telephone pole and then you get to the top and you have to figure out how to stand up on it. And that's when I discovered that when you are standing on top of a telephone pole, it sways. So I'm doing this, going, oh my God. And then I see the swing coming toward me. So I leap off to grab the swing and I miss completely. So you're on belay ropes, you know, you're not going to be hurt. They gently lowered me to the ground. And I'm like, oh man. And the instructor goes, you want to try again? Okay. Everybody else did it the first time. So I go back and I, do you know how hard it is to climb a telephone pole the second time? So I am so tired and I'm pulling myself up this telephone pole. I get up to the top of this thing. I get myself pulled up. I am swaying, but I kind of am used to it now. I know this is what's going to happen. They swing the swing toward me and I leap off and I touch it. They don't grab it, and I fall. They, like, drop me back down again. And he says, well, do you want to try again? And I think I've learned the lesson of the telephone pole, and I think the third time isn't going to get any better. I'm so tired now. And so I said, no, thank you. I'm good. So afterward, we were, like, processing what happened all day, sitting around this campfire and talking about what we learned. And this woman turns to me and she goes, how did it feel to fail to catch the aerial bar? How did it feel to fail to catch the aerial bar? And I looked at her and I went, you think I failed? I didn't fail. When I woke up this morning, it never in a million years occurred to me that I was going to climb to the top of a 40-foot telephone pole and leap through space to catch an aerial bar. And I did it twice. Oh, so there's no failure. There is only learning and growth. I love that she thought, I didn't even feel like I failed. I was kind of euphoric, you know? Look what I did. Something I never imagined I could do. This is what Ernest Holmes says. To live in conscious communion with life, even for a short time, will convert our fears into faith, our doubts into certainty, our hurt and sense of failure into something triumphant. How cool is that? Can we learn to feel triumphant when we have taken a risk, even if it didn't work out the way we expected? Can we do that? Because that's really all the universe is calling for us to do. So, this is your homework this week. I invite you to lean into your discomfort and your fear this week, right? To ask yourself, what is this discomfort telling me? Now, I will say sometimes fear is telling you, please remove yourself from this situation immediately, right? But I'm not talking about that kind of fear. I'm talking about the fear that could indicate maybe I'm out of alignment with my values. Maybe I'm out of alignment with spirit. Maybe I'm on the cusp of venturing into the unknown. Maybe I'm about to learn something new. And then to take the next step, comfort zone, discomfort and fear, take the next step into learning so that you can then move into growth, into that spiral, that upward spiral of continuous learning. So maybe that means you need to apologize to somebody that you've been avoiding. Or maybe you need to make that difficult phone call. Or maybe you need to say yes to an opportunity that you've been avoiding. Or maybe you need to take responsibility for something that you have been saying is somebody else's fault. Or maybe you just need to take a deep breath and take a leap of faith. So let me just summarize what we're talking about. The first thing is, we are so much greater than the sum total of our personality traits and who we think we are, our physical descriptions, our accomplishments, our challenges. We are centers of God consciousness. We are growing forever in spiritual stature. Second, we are called to grow beyond our comfort zone. We're called to live at our inner edge and to make that choice to lean into our discomfort and fear, not away from it. We're not shrinking, we're growing. And sometimes that discomfort and fear is the very pathway that we need to follow so that we continue our spiritual expansion into the infinite. And third, metanoia tells us that we are at that choice point where we can choose to transform our outlook, transform our thinking, grow into what's next. Fourth is, if you do make a mistake that pulls you out of alignment, to treat yourself with love and self-compassion, to release any judgment, and just look at what it is you're being asked to learn, so that you can move on. And finally, fifth, there is no failure. There is only learning and growth. So anytime you try something new, anytime you take a risk, anytime you do something that's not been done before, applaud yourself, no matter how it turns out. Because look at you. Look what you did. Look what you chose. It's beautiful. So I want to end this talk with a thought from Ernest Holmes. If every day things are a little better, a little happier, a little more harmonious, a little more health-giving and joyous, if each day we are expressing more life, we are going in the right direction. And so let's take that into prayer. Oh, Spirit of life, Spirit of energy and vitality, Spirit of joy, of intelligence, of love, I just breathe in the presence of this divine, beautiful source right here in this room, in my life. I affirm that I am one with God. My life is God. I am a magnificent expression of the divine. I am the way God knows itself. And I know that that is true of you and true of all of us. We are magnificent spiritual expressions spiraling ever upward into the infinite. And so every moment of this life is an opportunity for me to choose It's an opportunity for me to choose to lean into discomfort and fear and to see what's next. What's that next step that takes me into learning and leads me into deeper spiritual growth? I embrace the opportunities that come before me. I say yes to learning and yes to growth. I surrender into the divine and trust that God has my back. I'm so grateful for these Science of Mind teachings and for the words of Ernest Holmes. I am grateful to be able to share in the truth of what it means to live on our inner edge. I say thank you, sweet spirit, as I release these words into the law, confident that our lives are unfolding beautifully, richly, wholly. Thank you, and so it is.